As we near the end of ordinary time and the end of the liturgical year, again, it's the church's custom, of course, to have us to think about the last things. As we come to the last part of the church year, we think about the end of this world and this present life, and we consider what is to come. We hear in the first reading from Malachi that the day is coming blazing like an oven. You know, it's not very comforting words, really, that we hear from him. But he says, and here's the comfort, "For you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays." And of course, Malachi maybe didn't know this himself, but he was, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking of Jesus, the Son of Justice, S-O-N, Son of Justice, who is to come with his healing rays. And of course, that is the miracle of his passion, his death, and his resurrection. That's what gives us, as Christians, hope. Jesus, looking at Luke now, Jesus tells us that there are all these things that are going to happen. They're admiring the temple in Jerusalem, a beautiful, beautiful building by any estimation, and was one of the wonders of the world, as far as we know. Of course, we don't have any photographs of it, but they didn't have, you know, Kodak back in, you know, 70 A.D., before 70 A.D., so nobody has pictures of it per se, but it, from all accounts, from the ancient world, it was something to behold. And they're admiring it, and Jesus says, you know, the day is coming whenever that thing won't be there anymore. As beautiful and as impressive as it is, he says, the day is coming when not one stone of it will be standing upon another. And his words were prophetic, because about 40 years later, the Romans destroyed it, buried it, and built an entire new city on top of it. So, what was he saying, though? He wasn't just wanting to dash their hopes. He says also, you know, all these things are going to happen, and they're not very pleasant-sounding things. But he says, and he even concludes with saying, you'll be hated by all because of my name, but strangely, not a hair on your head will be destroyed. He even says, even a few lines before that, that, you know, many of you will be put to death, even by your own relatives and those who are supposed to be your friends. But he says, not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Now, he would be speaking double talk and nonsense if it weren't for the fact that he was, in short order, about to die and rise from the dead. That, then, makes everything else fall into place and make sense. Finally, our second reading, St. Paul is exhorting the Thessalonians to work diligently in their life here on earth. At this time, they were expecting Jesus to come the second time and the end of the world to happen. And many people were so concerned about that they stopped doing the day-in and day-out stuff of life. And of course, St. Paul saw a great problem with that. For one thing, life does have to go on until Jesus comes. We don't know when that's going to be. But the other thing is, there's a great deal of dignity and worth in our work. The things that we do and that are the tasks that are laid before us are necessary, and the Lord asks them of us. And in doing those things, we are sharing not only in the helping God to create the world and continue to make it unfold, if we're doing things according to his will, we're not only making the world unfold and we're being co-creators with him in the world, but we are also disciplining and preparing ourselves for life in heaven by increasing our virtue of perseverance, by increasing our virtue of dedication and being able to put forth effort and fortitude and strength in persisting through things, though they might be difficult or challenging. So St. Paul is telling us that First of all, we do have hope. We do have hope, even though we have difficulties in this life, that no matter how difficult they are, that, as Jesus says, not a hair on our head will be harmed. Not a hair on our head will be harmed. In the next life, these things will all pass, these hardships. But in the meantime, we have our own task to do. And it isn't just empty work, but rather it's something that the Lord asks of us, and by doing it, we are ourselves preparing for ourselves for the next life, and we are helping to build others up. And hopefully, while we're doing it, we are helping to point people toward the Lord Jesus. That's the key. I mean, do we go about our lives as if He isn't there and doesn't exist? Or do we actually rather do the things that we do for His sake and for leading others to Him? We should ask ourselves that question every day, maybe at the beginning and maybe at the end. Am I ready to do this at the beginning? And at the end, how did I do? How did I do in leading others to Jesus? Through my example, through my words, through my gentle encouragement of them toward Jesus? Am I doing that? Or am I rather just kind of plugging away through life and, you know, and going to bed and getting up the next day? So we're asked at this, toward the end of this liturgical year, next weekend brings it to a close, we ask, how are we preparing for our end? Are we doing it in steadfastness and in perseverance every day here in this life? Even the things that we think aren't all that important or all that pressing or all that necessary? Are we doing these things with trust in the Lord that He is shaping us and molding us? And do we do it with the intent of drawing ourselves and others closer to Him?